We continue our reading of the book of Hebrews, now in chapter 12. Our passage is Hebrews 12, 18 to 29. It's on page number 1285 if you're using the Pew Bibles. Now, this is one of the great passages of the book of Hebrews. You remember the writer of Hebrews is speaking to Jewish Christians who are being persecuted and tempted that they would abandon Christ to go back to Judaism. And here he vividly pictures the situation in terms of the two mountains. There is the Mount Sinai of Judaism, of the Old Testament. And then there is the heavenly Mount Zion. He pictures the church, particularly in heaven, its relationship to God. And he points out that when Moses brought the tribe of Israel to Mount Sinai, it was a vivid display. It was a sensual display, visual, auditory, even the fire and the smell and the smoke of the wrath of God against sin. Even the ground trembled. Everything said, do not touch this mountain. Why? Because he's a holy God and you're an unholy people and sin is the huge barrier. It has not yet been dealt with. The people were very afraid, and he alludes to this. They say, well, let's send Moses. We've got a holy man. It's Moses. And Moses was afraid. Because so great is the wrath of God against sin. Now, that's the old situation. But Christ has come. And he has, as it were, taken, I often think of him, of a stage set. And he takes that stage set and he wraps it around himself. All the fire and smoke and wrath and trembling. The whole wrath of God, he took it to the cross. It's taken away. And now we have Mount Zion. It's the picture of the church in its heavenly destination. And this is such a wonderful description. You know, even Moses couldn't even touch the mountain. But now the entire church is living on the mountain. It's their home, the presence of God, Mount Zion and the city of the living God. And our eternal dwelling is pictured as a joyful festival. Now the angels before were bearing swords and they were being fearful. Now they're in festal array. They're gathered for blessing and joy. It is the assembly of the firstborn. You know, firstborn has special privileges. We're all firstborn. We have the highest status as sons in Christ. We who are enrolled in heaven, the spirits of the righteous made perfect. What a description of the Christian in heaven. We are righteous now. We are justified through faith in Christ, but we're not perfect, but we're going to be. We're going to be holy and glorified. That's what we are in heaven. And why? Because of Jesus, who is the mediator of a new covenant and the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Jesus and his atoning work. Now, you know where he's going with this. Why would you abandon him who takes away that wrath and gives you eternal joy? And these are the applications. There's really two applications. The first in verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Oh, what a dreadful thing it is, particularly to hear Jesus proclaimed, Jesus in his death for sin, and to reject him. One is keeping all of that wrath for his or herself. Why would anyone do that? There is no other Savior, and what a Savior he is. If you have not embraced Jesus in saving faith, you should do so immediately. He is the only mediator. His blood alone atones for our sins. But then the second application has to do with worship. Faith, conversion, but then the worship of God's people. We have a great description here of what it means. You know, we have an expression that familiarity breeds contempt, and that's true among us because you get to see all the things we've been hiding. But how different it is with God. The disclosure of God only shows more glory. It doesn't breed contempt. It breeds doxology. It breeds awe. It breeds marveling to see more and more, to get to know God more intimately, is more and more to realize his perfection and his glory and his holiness. And therefore you have in verse 28, which really is maybe the key verse in all the Bible that has animated Reformed worship. What do we believe about worship? Well, let us offer to God acceptable worship. Well, that means that there is unacceptable worship. Unacceptable worship, Calvin called it will worship. It's worship that we like, worship that makes sense to us. Well, we're the unholy ones. No, we should offer biblical worship. We should study God's word. How does he wish to be worshiped? That's what we should do, acceptable to him through Jesus Christ. And then he says, let us do it with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Oh, what a joyful thing it is to be a Christian. What a wonderful destiny we have. But it doesn't make us trivialize God. Oh, no. We hold him in a greater reverence and awe because of the holy and great God that he is. Well, I'll stop there. Let us hear now the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 18 of Hebrews 12. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose word made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.